Well, welcome to another episode of Business Ahas. Today is going to be another incredible episode. I have a dear friend who's visiting us today, and we're here at Rift enjoying an afternoon beer and enjoying friends. And it's going to be fantastic because it was about 13 years ago, my now dear friend Pat moved to Chandler, Arizona with his two kids. And this so happens his two kids were the same ages of my two kids, and they ended up going to school together and spending time together. And we were at a football game early on at the Catholic high school. And I'm sitting up in the stands, and it's 6 o'clock in the afternoon. And I look over, and he's sitting up in the stands, 6 o'clock in the afternoon. We're the only dads, right? So we kind of finally migrated close to each other. Like, what do you do? And he goes, I'm retired. I'm like, what do you mean you're retired? You're younger than I am. How can you be retired? And Pat's a retired law enforcement, and he served his entire career in law enforcement and moved to Chandler to be in the West. And I really enjoyed getting to know him and his family over the course of the years. And now 13 years later, I still call him a dear friend. Him and his wife are very close to us as well. And it's going to be excited to have him today. So welcome to our Business Ahas.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for having me.
You're absolutely welcome, Pat. You were watching one of our episodes where we had Marcus, and Marcus is here with us today, but in voice only.
That's right.
And he's going to be joining us via Tel Aviv in voice only, but he's with us today. Just got to think about him being here with us today. But you watched the episode, and you're like, hey, when you have me on?
Yeah.
And I said, deal, we'll bring you on.
Yeah.
And guess what?
Here I am.
Here you are.
Yeah, and I watched all of them at that point, and I really enjoyed it. I feel like I got a little something from everybody that was there. There's actually a guy who said he does wood turning.
Oh, yeah.
And I swear, I've been watching those videos. I want to do that so bad. So I want to hook up with that guy and learn how to do that a little bit. And another one of your friends who you introduced me to when I went to the Jet game, I got on that Facebook group and I got tickets to the Jets Cardinals with those guys. Yeah, so it'll be great fun. So I got a nice connection from the
island. So I hear you're going out of town this Friday.
I am.
Yeah, I heard that. And luckily, this is not going to air before then. So you can get the right surprise out now. Because,
good.
Because you're looking at me with daggers.
I'm like, you, I told you not to say that. But my nephew's getting married in September. So he has a bachelor party Saturday. So I'm going to surprise him. I'm flying in Friday night to New York, driving over to Connecticut. Not even tell my mother until maybe an hour before the bachelor party. I'll stop in.
Well, we'll make sure to pre-release the episode just to mom.
You better not.
We'll take care of it.
No.
And mom, here it comes.
No. We like surprises in our family.
Well, like you've seen on the previous episodes, Pat, we talk about your little bit of your career, first of all, kind of your background and what you're doing now, because obviously you've got kind of your second career, you know, leading a large organization in security. And so it's been kind of a fascinating kind of evolution. Not only our friendship, but your professional career as well. But would you mind give us a little bit of a thumbnail of that? And then we'll hop into the aha moment.
For sure. Yeah. So I was a police officer in Connecticut, Southeastern Connecticut. Town of about 50,000 people, 100 policemen, 120 policemen, police officers. So I got on there in 1986, retired in 2011. Spent majority of the time patrol. I really enjoyed patrol. I liked it. I liked going on calls and kind of, you know, shagging calls, they say, and going on, you know, going, never know what the next day will bring. Then I was a detective for about a year, worked narcotics. Great fun. Didn't think I'd like it, really did. Was a sergeant for 3 years, and then I became a lieutenant, and I retired there after 3 years after that. Did some records and training, and long knew I was on Marine unit. I really liked that. It was on the water. So summertime.
Wait a minute, there's water in Connecticut?
A little bit. Yeah, we had a river in the Sound, Long Island Sound. And, you know, summertime, it was a good gig when you're in your 20s, especially. It was, you know, it's good fun. Little hairy sometimes, but a good job.
Okay, then moving to Arizona. I don't think I remember the reason why. Arizona, it's hot here.
You've been to Connecticut?
Yeah.
Because it's pretty hot there, too. It's hot in the summer.
It's humid.
Yes, and that's the worst.
Yeah, it's a dry heat here. That's
not
different, right?
Not great for a fellow like me.
Exactly.
It really is. It's so much better. I just got kind of tired of the winters. I remember saying I have to move away. I was at a light. My daughter was in the back seat. It was that kind of weather, if you've never been in it. It's sort of cold, but it's not. And your rain hits the windshield and freezes. And so does your wipers. And so you have to slap them. And I remember saying,
I'm done.
No, I remember saying, who chooses to live in this blank? And my daughter was behind me and I forgot. And she said, well, I don't know, Dad.
So when you moved, was Patrick eight?
He was five.
Oh, no.
No, no, that's not true. You're right. He was 10.
It was my story.
No, he was five when we decided to go. That's what he always gets upset. He never had a say in it. But it was that moment of like, I have to get out of here. I can't do these winters anymore. And we looked south, west, all over the place and knew a few people that had come out here. And we came out here in the dead of summer and said, it's not as bad as everybody says. And so we landed on Chandler for some of the schools there. And,
well, hence the dry heat, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So that's where we landed on come out here. So don't regret a second of it.
I think it was 10 or 11 when they were holding hands at Disneyland together, right?
Yeah.
Emma and Patrick. Now Emma's 23 and mm-hmm. Scottsdale firefighter.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, my badass daughter.
Yeah.
I have two badass daughters.
That's right.
Emma, should we get that straight?
Yeah.
Of course. So then you're here for a bit and then your new career now?
Yeah. So I had a private investigation company for a minute. It was pretty good. And I had good partners. It just didn't cash out the way we wanted to. So I ended up working for a different hospital. I worked hospital security there just to get a little
extra income.
Yep. Yeah. Get out of the house a little bit. And then another hospital not closer to me hired security. And so I went there, obviously paid a little better, definitely better culture. I just enjoyed it a lot. And then, I don't know, about 3 years into it, one of the leaders retired and I applied for the position and ended up getting that position. So I've been in a leadership position there for probably 7 years now.
Gotcha. And indirectly, how many reports do you have in that division now?
About 75.
Wow.
Give or take. A few hospitals, but lots of support, lots of, good folks there. So we really, really, really love it there.
Crazy. We're corporate America now.
It's a little different. That was a curve that I had to negotiate that curve.
Are you still negotiating the curve?
I don't know because I think people know me too, and I am who I am. I'm I said to somebody at one point that I kind of am who I am. And it served me pretty well. I don't pretty truthful guy. That's what it is. Like my opinion is my opinion, and we can talk about it, or my thoughts are my thoughts, and we can talk about it, and I'm open to change. But I don't know. I think. I get a little East Coast in me, which was a little bit different here, but I think people kind of understand me and I understand them. So it kind of works out. I think totally it's great. It's a good fit.
So I would say in my life, there's very few people I would call incredible storytellers. And you're one of them.
Oh, good.
No, you're one of them.
Some people say I talk too much.
But
matter of fact, everybody says I talk too much.
But I will say sometimes, Pat, tell that story. Yeah. Pat, tell that story. Because it's absolutely incredible to hear like, no. I want to hear that story again. So let's skip forward. So your aha moment. Let's go. And remember, I don't know it.
I know.
Yeah.
So when you asked me to be on it, it was funny because I said, I really like this. And you said, what do you want to do? I said, maybe, I don't know. I'm not a business guy. He said, everybody has an aha moment. So I thought about it. And I think you're right. My aha moment is basically not aha moment, but the point is you never say no to opportunity. Okay. Mm. The backstory to that is, and I was actually talking to him today on my way here and I told him I was going to tell a story. He said, no way. So my friend, John Brown with an E, last name ends in an E. He said, make sure you put in that, my spelling. So John Brown with an E, we were high school buddies and, it was after high school, summer after high school. And it was, when you're in when you're 18 and you got nothing to do, you kind of just sleep late. And so John shows up at my house as he might, or I would show up to his house as I might. And he woke me up and he said, let's go. I said, where are we going? He said, I'm going to go get an application for the police department. I said, for what? I said, my father was a police officer for close to 30 years in Connecticut. And, I said, he just retired. He hated that. Like he was done with it, man. What do you want to do that job for? He's like, I always wanted to do it. I said, you did? Like, I never knew that about him. And I was going to college for business administration, not a great fit for me. I wasn't really enjoying it. I wasn't understanding a lot of it. I knew that wasn't for me, but I didn't know what I wanted to do. But I was sort of like, that was what you do, right? So I was going to do that. And so I went with John to go pick up an application, and you know, just kind of walked in with him, and he grabs an application. He said, "Do you want one?" And I said, "I only got about $5 on me. How much do they cost?" And they said they were free. And I went, "Ah, I'll take one."
So it's $5 or free.
That was it. And so I filled it out. I never told my father. And I took the written.
You never told your father?
Not right away. I mean, eventually he learned, clearly.
Yeah.
But I didn't tell him originally because he, like, truly, you know, the department he worked with was, you know, pretty inner city. Not a choice of a department he would like to have had me go to, let's just say. All right. You know, and listen, I was 18 years old. I'm 5'8". I was probably 140 pounds, skinny as a rail. Like, I looked like I was about 14 years old. And so, you know, I took the written, I did really well. I took the physical, I was 18 and 145 pounds. Like, so I did really well. So the list came out, I did really well. And, I thought, well, maybe I'm supposed to do this. Like, don't say no to this opportunity, man. Cause I was really worried about my dad, like what he was going to say. And, so I told him, I said, "Hey, listen, just, I took the test." And he said, "You did what?" I said, "I did. I don't know what I want to do. I'm doing this business thing. I can't stand it. I don't know what I want to do with myself." And, it's funny, he told me later on too, I'll tell you, but, I said, "Maybe this is what I'm supposed to do." And he said, and I told him where, and he said, "Okay, you take that city where he worked, I'll break your knees." I said, "Okay, fair enough. I won't do that."
Was there an interview?
Not at that point. So at that point, it was just, it was a number. And then when you got to your number, then there was an interview. Then there was backgrounds and all that. So,
polygraph.
That's a great question. Yeah. No. I think at that point you come out as a number, and then the rest came later. It was a long time ago, Jim.
Sure. Yeah, we've slept since then.
A lot of beers once ago. So, you know, it was funny because later on I talked to my father and I said, "Hey, what were you thinking? Like, when I told you this?" He goes, "At first I was mad. First I was like, what are you thinking? I just got out of that job. I told you, live in a fishbowl. That job is not
30 years.
It's thankless, you know." Yeah. He said, but he knew that I was in a place where I didn't know what to do, and that maybe this would work. You know, this would be something to get me going. And, you know, we both agreed, like, "Hey, go through the academy. If you don't like it, you know, you don't like it, then pull the plug. We'll go do something else." You know, you know, again, I kind of lucked in with a few things, and I did pretty well. I had a pretty decent career. I don't miss it, but I don't,
You miss the people.
Some of them, for sure. You know, but I miss some of the camaraderie to it, you know, back in the old days. Now, as you got, you know, as time went on, it changed a little bit, but, you know, I don't really miss the job per se, but I miss some of the experiences. I miss some of the individual people that you met along the way that you know, probably helped along the way, you think, you know, mm-hmm. But it was all in all, I would do it again.
So anybody that's a young leader that's thinking about what's going to be next, and an opportunity comes along, the message is, don't say no.
Right. And I would even go further, like, even with this current position that I have, you know, I was in a position that was not, you know, it was a couple steps to get to that. But I thought, well, you know, in my past life, I had a little bit of that experience. If nothing else, I'll take it. And if I don't get it, I'll apply for the next one that comes along. Like, I truly, that was truly my feeling in it, and having that, thinking back to that, like, what could it hurt? Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wouldn't say that if, you know, to you, Jim, "Hey Jim, you know, I got this great business idea. I'm going to make a new, you know, new microphone. I want you to sell everything you got, and you and me go into this business together." That'd be stupid. But I think if you're not sure what you're going to do, or you're at a crossroads, or you're in a place in your life where you're like, "Man, I'm not sure," then just don't say no to the next opportunity. I tell it to my kids, they're out of college. They're, you know, what am I going to do? I'm not sure. I'm working here. You know, they're making money. They're paying their rent. They're doing well, but
they're finding their way.
Yeah. You know, and another great, Pete Freerism, you know, water seeks its own level, he would say. Mm-hmm. And at some point it all levels out, you know, mm-hmm. Sometimes you're down, you'll get up, you'll meet the right people. And then, you know, it all levels out.
Yeah. You step into an opportunity and the worst they can
for
say
sure
is no.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
And the learning experience that you had, you never forget.
Yeah. And I didn't have to spend $5.
Yeah. We one of the things we talk about with a lot of our executives that we coach is that studies show that most people are more motivated by the avoidance of discomfort than they are the seeking of pleasure. And so it sounds like in two instances now in your professional life, you've looked at potential discomfort and said, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to try it anyway. And it's worked out.
Yeah. So far.
So for those individuals that are hesitant, what do you say to them to encourage them to say, yeah, I'll give it a shot?
Well, I mean, it's almost like a you have nothing to lose situation. I mean, I had the PI business, right? Had a friend come and say, you know, look, you want to do this? I said, I don't know. I never did that before. I don't know anybody here. Well, I know some people. I can get you started. Okay, why not? Right? And it was like, I didn't have anything to lose, right? I had everything to gain from it. And so, and what do you lose? Some time. I didn't think, and I even said, I don't want to lose any friendship over business. That was an actual.
I remember that conversation.
Yeah. That was the thing that I said, you know, if it comes down to something we'll get rid of the business first. I don't want to do that.
And guess what?
Here we are.
Here we are.
It was this guy. So anyway, but you know, I didn't know how much you want to go into that, but you know, that was another, you know, why not? Right. I think I was selling insurance. I had a job doing something.
So hang on a second. You mentioned a minute ago that, if I remember correctly, you're laying in bed and, John Brown comes over with an E and wakes you up and he goes, hey, let's go. And you say, where are we going? We're going to the police station to fill out an application. And he hands you one and it was free. And he filled out one too.
Yeah.
Did he get the job?
No, he didn't get on that job, but John ended up getting on to another job, retiring from that job.
Oh, because he became a cop.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay,
yep. Yeah. And then he became a lieutenant in a police department. Retired on a Friday, became a patrolman in another department on a Monday, and I talked to him today. Oh. He might be retiring in November.
Oh, so double dipping.
At least he's looking for another gig, maybe, Jim. What do you got for him?
Yeah, right?
So you know, and but John, John's been so much more successful than I. So you know, he's grinded out college, kept going, got his master's degree, and he kept going. And he's, God bless him, he's puts his nose to the grindstone, gets it done.
Never say no to an opportunity.
Never.
Always. Listen to what the opportunity is. Worst case scenario, like Marcus said a minute ago, you fail. You got the education.
Yeah. And I've gone back and thought about it. Like, because really, I have. And I said, what if it was one of those days? Like, get out of here, John. I'm going to buy. You go get the application. Pick me up later. We'll go to the Greeks and get a hot dog. Right? Like, that could have been the other outcome. 100%, because you come over, I don't want to do that, come back later, you know,
you beat it, scram.
Yeah,
and he would have left and he would have gone and that would have been it, you know. So it's like, it's kind of like a fate thing, maybe, I don't know. But yeah. it's not saying no to, just say yes.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah,
can't hurt.
Pat, nothing less, you learn the lesson.
Yeah
Hey Pat, thanks for sharing. I like it a lot.
Yeah,
the whole kind of theory, if you look back, of the decisions that we made to take a chance.
Yeah.
The decisions we made to what's going to be next. Decisions we made to not give up and keep trying. Yeah. And to really embrace the fact that to err is human, right?
Yeah. And I don't know. There's a little bit of risk, not a lot of risk. You know, I think, I don't know that I would have, you know, quit some other really great job to go, you know, put an application to go there. It wasn't like a yearning in my soul to become a police officer. But I think it ended up... what I was meant to do.
Cool.
At the end of the day.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. It's great having you.
All right.
Yeah. Till next time.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't have any more aha moments. That's it.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of the best ones to have, you know, at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
I wonder if you would have said no, what would have happened? What would have been next? Because obviously John would have gotten hired, right? John would have got the job, you know, and John, you would look back on, you know, maybe that is right for me. And then maybe you would have taken another shot at it.
I don't know. I feel like I would have rolled into something else. You know, I'm not a regret person.
Mm-hmm.
I think even when you have tragedies or really bad things happen to you, there's reasons for it. They're, you know, you come out the backside for the better.
Yeah. I have a question for you. Total curveball. What do you think happened the day that Trump got hit within the ear?
I think he lucked out. I mean, you look at some of those videos where he turns his head, you know, people say the divine hand of God.
But all the rumors and things that are out there now, I mean, obviously as an officer and, you know, living in that world for your career, I mean, did something go wrong?
Well, yeah. I mean, watch the news. Everything went wrong. I mean, you know, I can't speculate a lot of things, but I mean, I was watching with my wife and, you know, they're like, how could someone have gotten inside with a firearm? I'm like, nobody got inside with that. That thing was from a distance. Like you could hear the snap of the bullet, you know, so that's a rifle, you know, that's a rifle.
Oh, the different sound.
Yeah.
She was 130 yards away, right?
Something like that. Yeah. But a pistol makes a different sound than a rifle.
Interesting.
And the bullet goes faster than the speed of sound, so it cracks the sound barrier. So
and if you hear that very last shot a couple seconds later, and it's a shot to him.
Yeah, I don't know, because I've seen. Listen, you can go down to, you know, down a rabbit hole over there, boy. Everybody breaks it down. There was, you know, the grassy knoll and the tower and the who knows. You know, I don't know any of that, and I'm sure it'll shake out over time. But, to have not been shot that day was magical.
Like
it was, that was just there, you can't get better luck than that. Like buy a lottery ticket.
because he turned his head at that 1 second.
Like that for that one, it's literally that millisecond.
You know what it reminded me of March 30th, 1981.
Reagan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the last time a president was shot.
Yep.
Sitting or not.
Yep.
And then the old story that surrounded that, we know obviously with Brady and
sure
all the changes that happened Reagan getting shot.
Yep.
And now fast forward, you know, how many years ago is that?
Yep.
Long time.
And all those people have iconic moments, right? What did Ronald Reagan say to the doctor? I hope you're a Republican. Right. Mm-hmm. Right? And what does Trump gets up? He gets up, throws his fist up, right? I mean, you know, there's certain
irony.
You know, whether you like him or you don't. You know,
it is
both
it is.
People, pretty iconic things, you know. So,
yeah. Absolutely.
So,
well, cool. Great having you, man.
I've got a question, if you don't mind. So, as you spent this first part of your career on patrol,
mm-hmm.
as a police officer, most days you're showing up and you're meeting people that are not having the best day of their life. How did you find that you navigated showing up to situations like that? I mean, obviously, you're a good storyteller. You seem very interpersonal. Was there some skill or something that you fell back on that helped you kind of navigate those situations?
I don't know. I grew up in a humor because, mm-hmm. You know, even if you crack a joke and when you shouldn't be, a lot of people it gets a little, they change a little bit or they, you know, I won't say off-putting, but it changes the mood for a second. You know, I'm the last of six kids. There's not one of us that isn't funny. You know, we get it pretty much from my mom and dad, both in different ways. But I think too, that I think, you know, the interpersonal skill of it, you know, you have to be able to be empathetic and sympathetic, two different things, but you have to be both, right?
You also got a job.
Huh?
But you also have a job.
Yeah. You're doing a job. You got a job to do in the midst of that.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, there's some people, you know, when I was in a police academy, they'd say there's yes people, maybe people, no people, right? There's people you can say under arrest. They say, okay. Right. And then there's the maybe people that say, I'm not going, as soon as you touch them, they go, okay. And then there's no people that say, you ain't taking me. And those are the people who are the 10%, you know, the smaller percentage, probably a higher mm-hmm. percentage nowadays than those. But in most cases, if you just explain to people why this is what's going on, I didn't do this, you did this, come on, man, you know what's going on. Okay. You know, and they pretty much let things go. Mm.
Interesting answer.
And treat people decently and humanly.
Mm. Don't be a tool.
No, I never. It's so funny because I never, and to this day, I don't hold grudges. I'm not a grudge guy.
Mm-hmm.
I remember telling, you know, we're fighting with a guy in his living room one day over something, broke the table, you know, the whole thing. And the next day, get called back to the house. And as soon as we show up, he's ready to fight. And I say, how'd you make on court? And he said, what? So how'd you make on court? Right? Because he had to go to court the next day. Okay, I'm sorry. Well, you don't want to do that again, do you? Right? Like, you know, you humanize it.
Mm-hmm.
You made a mistake. Here you are. Let's go on to the next thing.
Doing it again.
Yeah.
It's interesting. So the term that's been used, obviously, in the last, you know, 5-10 years is this whole de-escalation thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's a trait that you you embodied yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You chose to not have things get worse. And as a result, you had a very incredible career.
I'm not a big fella, Jim. You know, so when you're not as big, you know, you can't fight as much either. I mean, I don't want to fight anybody.
So the power of persuasion?
For sure. Why would you want to? No, but why do you, you know, why fight when you don't have to fight? Mm-hmm. I mean, that was always my thing. My father always said it, like, never, never. What are you fighting people when you don't have to fight them for? Mm-hmm. Right. There's going to be, you know, don't go look for trouble. It's going to find you. You know, it's these, you know, Freerisms, man. My old man had a bunch of them.
And you know, I'm going to call it another aha moment, Marcus.
Absolutely.
What's if that? You really think about that, how that innate feeling inside of me to de-escalate a situation, uh-huh. it's a choice that he made.
Yeah.
And as a result, he's here talking to us today.
Yeah.
Because he didn't escalate something out of control.
Yeah. If you don't have to fight, don't fight. People can invite you to a fight. You don't have to accept the invitation.
Right. Well, uh-huh. sometimes, though, you know, as a police officer, sometimes you can't decline the invitation either. You know what I mean? Sometimes
I'm RSVP'd for you.
Yes, these people have to go where they're going, and mm-hmm. we have to take you. You know, I always say we. It's not. It was never. It was always. It's not a one-man show. That job. You know. Mm.
Wow, Pat, that's absolutely fantastic. It's great having you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And everybody, you have the opportunity to watch my friend Pat, and if you get the opportunity, invite him for a beer, have him tell you a story. It'll be a story you never forget. So, you know, being surprised on this whole philosophy surrounding what John Brown with an N said, you took a chance. And that chance paid off with Pat, and it turned out being a great career. And it's not saying no to an opportunity. So opportunity presents it to you. Don't say no. Give it a shot. What do you got to lose? Have a great day. Until next time for our Business Ahas. Take care.